Praise God. Great to see God is doing and all the kids out there having a wonderful time and their fun day, and God blessing them. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've already been speaking to us through the worship. Father, we open our hearts, Lord, that you'd speak to each and every one of this day. Father, we just thank you that you are a gracious Father, a mighty God, an awesome God. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've called each one of us, Lord, to be flowing and moving in your Spirit. And Lord, that's who we are, Lord. That's who you called us to be, as the sons and daughters of the living God. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to your word this day. Pray that you speak to our hearts. We pray that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Bless you. This morning, in a little while, we're going to see a video in a little while. Some highlights from the state conference that we went through. But I just want to give you a context for that before we watch that in a few minutes' time. I want to talk this morning about the sword of the Spirit we see on our banner. We've got our little sword there and we've got our little Bible there. I want to talk about the sword of the Spirit today. We know our theme, 1 Timothy 6:11 to 14, it talks about fighting the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And that's what we've been talking about across this year. Last week we spoke about faith and how through the eyes of faith, how God actually lifts us up and we can actually see beyond the things that are blocking us, the things that are confronting us, the things that seem to hinder the desires and dreams, the goals, the plans, the purposes, all the things that were in our heart. And to see actually God is still in control as we're lifted into his presence through that intimacy. But Ephesians 6:17 is a scripture that I'm sure we're all familiar with, or most of us would be familiar with. And it talks about the armor of God, but 6:17 it says this. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the sword of the Spirit. And notice it is the sword of the Spirit. We say the sword of the word of God. It's not the sword of the word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And there's that spirit dimension that's so critical within the heart of the word of God, that if we want to use the word of God effectively, that we need to know that it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That spirit dimension is so important when we come to talking about the word of God. When it talks about a sword too, it's the sword in the Bible. Sometimes when we think about the sword of the Spirit, we think of this big whopping big sword that we're there and we're hacking and waving this big whopping big sword. It's not like that actually. The word actually there for sword is actually means a short sword. It's actually a short sword that was really deliberately for thrusting, giving surgical strikes right into the areas where it's supposed to go. It's not a out there throw out hacking thing, but it's a very precise thing when it talks about the word of God and the sword of the Spirit, something to be very precise, going right in to the place, into the area where God intends it to go at that appointed time. And so it's a wonderful thing when we talk about this sword of the Spirit that God has given us and wants us to know how to wield the word of God. Find a lot of people know how to use the word of God defensively, but how do we use that as an offensive weapon? I want to talk about that a little bit later. Many Christians are very good at using the sword of the Spirit in a defensive framework, but how do we use that as we're supposed to use that as a weapon, as an offensive weapon to see things won and territory taken and the things of God? It's really important, the spirit dimension, that the Holy Spirit within the context of what we're doing. It's without the Holy Spirit, you're never going to be able to hold the word of God or wield the word of God properly. John 3:34, it says this, for the one who God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Speaking the word of God, the Holy Spirit given without limit. You find that right through, that there's this tie up between the Spirit of God and the Word of God. It's not the Word of God without the Spirit of God. It's not the Spirit of God without the Word of God. It's actually the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, intrinsically flowing and joined together. And you see in Acts 4:31, you see where there's a prayer gathering. They're all gathered together in prayer. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly. Now, this is post-Pentecost. You know, Acts chapter 2 is Pentecost. Acts 4, they're all gathering again. Some persecution is there. They're gathering together. They're praying and saying, Lord, what are we going to do about all this persecution that's coming upon us? And they have this prayer time. power of God comes on them in a powerful way, and they begin to speak the words of God boldly. There's something about the Spirit of God coming upon our life and being led, and of the Spirit of God to be able to use the Word of God in a powerful way. And amazing revival broke out after that time when they were together praying in such a way. And so there's something about us, for us to be able to have the Spirit filling us in such a way that we're going to use the Word of God in a powerful way that will touch lives and make an eternal difference. And that's what God has called us to do. We're filled with the Spirit. We're born again. You're born of the Spirit when you become a Christian. We've been then clothed with power on high. We've been filled with the Spirit in that subsequent experience, subsequent to our conversion. But then there's that constant sense of being full of the Spirit of God and having that sword of the Spirit ready to use, and to use it offensively, not just defensively. And it says in Romans 8:14, it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So when I'm talking about the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, I'm talking about using the Word of God in such a way that it's led of the Spirit of God. Using the Word of God in such a way that is led of the Spirit of God. Because that's what makes the difference. When the Holy Spirit is leading you to apply the Word and to actually go forth and begin to speak God's Word to other people, then that's when it becomes that sharp thrusting sword where the Word goes straight into someone's heart. Where we're surrounded by people who don't know Christ. You work with people. You study with them at school or uni or in your neighbors, even in your family. And the thing that's going to cause them to come to Christ is someone that has the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and is able then to put that Word right where it needs to go, to speak right into their heart. A Word that's led of the Spirit of God that cuts right in, goes right to the heart of the matter, right to the part of the issue that is within their heart. And for us as the people of God, till you learn to use that, to hold the sword of the Spirit, not just defensively, but to offensively, aggressively, not towards people, but towards the kingdom of darkness, to use that sword of the Spirit. Some people think that spiritual warfare is the sword of the Spirit, and I'm going to be shouting out all these things in the heavenly realms, and yet there's a place for that. But really what I'm talking about is we were able to use the Word of God and put it straight into someone's heart with the things that they need to hear, the things that God wants to touch that will set them free. And when we talk about the Word of God in the Bible, in the book of Acts, it talks right through the book of Acts. It talks about the Word of God spreading. And when it talks about the Word of God in the book of Acts, it's talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, about people coming into relationship with Christ. Giving their heart to Christ, receiving Him as the Lord and Savior. It's the Word of God. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also then there's the written Word of God. Paul, speaking to Timothy, talks about the Word of God. He calls it the Word of Truth, and talks about the Bible, the Scripture that we have. And even later on, Peter says, yeah, there's some things in there that Paul has written that's a little bit hard to understand, but we need revelation from the Spirit of God to understand everything that God is saying. And so we have the Word of God, and it tells us something about the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is a very, very powerful thing. It is a very powerful weapon in your hand. Some people don't pick it up, or whether they pick it up, as I said, they only ever use it to defend themselves. They don't know how to use it in an aggressive sense to take territory, which is what God wants us to do. You're in a war. Being in a war, if you have two sides in a war, and there's one side here attacking, there's one side attacking there, and there's both of them are defending the whole time, and eventually this is stalemate, and they're just sort of both stuck there, then how can you ever claim victory when it's always just being defensive? You can only have victory is when you take the things of God and you actually start to take territory. You start to conquer. You start to win. This says about Hebrews 4:12 says this about the Word of God. For the Word of God is alive, and it's alive because the Holy Spirit has breathed life into the Word of God. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. So the breath of God is contained within the Scripture. God has put His holy breath, the Holy Spirit has put life into the Scripture. It's God-breathed, inspired by God, but the breath of God in the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and it's active. It actually does something. It's not just a static thing. There's a power that is contained in the Word of God, sharper than any double-edged sword. Now, it penetrates. Remember, that's the point of the Word of God that is given. Now, there's the Word of God, which is the Scripture that we have, which is the Word of God. There's the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God. But there's something about taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is empowered by the Holy Spirit, directed and led by the Holy Spirit, and that's that thrusting word that goes straight into the heart, into the situation, into the circumstances. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. It gets right into the heart of the issue. And that's how you are to wield the Word of God. That's how we are to wield the Word of God. To have the Word of God empowered by the Spirit of God that gets right in into the heart of men and women, dividing between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Getting to the heart of the issue and to use the Word of God and to be sensitive to the prompting and leading of the Spirit of God, that we are able to use that to actually see people's lives touched and changed forever. And that's what we want. We've all got family. We've got our Book of Life prayer. We're praying for people that we work with, that we live with, live near, that are family members, people around us that don't know Jesus, don't know the things of God in their heart. And God wants us to take up this sword of the Spirit and go to war. Now, it's not a blunt axe that we go around beating people up with and saying, "You repent, you sinner." That's a blunt axe. It's a club to beat people up. No, it's not like that. The sword of the Spirit is when we have led of the Spirit of God, when God gives you the right word to say, the right thing to say, which goes right into the person's heart, right into the core of their being. And they go, "I don't even know what's going on here. Something's happening within inside me, something what it is." But the words that you've said are gone right in there. They've touched the very core, the very fabric of the person that I am. And there's something within that that causes me to respond to the incredible love of God and the life of Jesus Christ as we hold it. And that's how God wants us to be ones who operate, who correctly handle the Word of God and to know the power of the Word of God. Now, there's something about the Word of God that helps us overcome the work of the enemy for sure. Now, there is that defensive sense. 1 John 2:14. This is what John writes. It says, "I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you." So the Word of God is life. Remember, Christ was the Word of God made flesh, and so we have Christ living within our heart. "And the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." And there's something about having the Word of God in us to help overcome the work of the enemy. And certainly that is. Now, we know, we talked about, you've got a shield of faith where the lies of the enemy come, those fiery darts, and that because we know how much God loves us, we know who God is, we know who we are in Christ, it absorbs all of those things. But sometimes the devil will come and he will say some things to us. And so he will tell you that he'll say that you're a useless, worthless person. And so I can have the sword of the Spirit and I can use it defensively. I can have the word say, "No, I'm not useless. I'm actually the apple of his eye. I'm actually a son and daughter of the Most High God. I'm someone that he loves so much that Jesus died for, that I'm his precious one." And we can stand and hold up the Word of God, and we can parry, we can hold back the lies of the enemy, because it's the sword of truth, and we can counter those lies with the sword of the Spirit. When he says that, when he says that you're a useless, hopeless sinner, and you say, no, that I am set free. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that I'm justified. And we can hold off those lies of the enemy by using the sword of the Spirit. We can counter whatever the enemy is saying. Now, that's for most people, that's where it ends in terms of using the sword of the Spirit. That the enemy comes at us with a lie, and no, we've got the promise in God. You know, we're struggling in our finances, and the devil's saying, "Oh, you're in trouble now." And he said, no, he's Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. And that we can stand in who God is, and we can lift up that sword of the Spirit and parry, deflect those blows. And people will put the verse on their fridge and they'll put it on the back of the toilet door. And when things try to come against them, they'll grab a hold of that and they will claim it. And there's a power in doing that. There is a power in the Word of God, because it nullifies, it cuts off the lies of the enemy. The liar, the father of all lies, sets himself against truth. This war, the spiritual war, as we said, it's the battle for truth. And so certainly to use the sword of the Spirit defensively is very important. Jesus did that. We know in Luke 4 when Jesus was tempted at the temptation of Jesus Christ, the devil says, throws these things at him, quoting scripture, but using it in such a way to tempt Jesus, to cause him to stop doing what he wanted. God wanted him to do his fasting. He says, you know, you can eat these stones. The word says you can turn them into, command these stones into bread. And he says, no. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but corrupt. Quoting Deuteronomy 8:3, he says, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's where man lives with. And so in each of those three temptations, Jesus comes back with the Word of God and he says, no, he holds off what the enemy is trying to do, cause him to tempt him and cause him to fall into sin. And we need to be able to do that. That's why the Word of God needs to be in our heart. We know the Word of God, so when the lies of the devil come against us, we can have that Word of God and we can say, no, I'm not putting up with this nonsense. When you come against me in some way, attack who I am, the integrity of my heart, you attack me, you put your lies upon me, try to bring condemnation, try to put me down. No way. I'm not going to take that. I'm going to stand and I'm going to hold ground. I'm not going to concede. I'm not going to fall into defeat and despair. I'm going to stand strong and I'm going to defend with that sword of the Spirit. But there's an aspect that we all need to learn and to grow in, and that's to use the sword of the Spirit in an offensive manner, not just using it to parry away the enemy. Now, so how do we use the sword of the Spirit in an offensive way? Now, by offensive, I don't mean by offending people. I mean not defensive, I mean offensive. I mean going forward, I mean taking ground, taking territory. How do we use the sword of the Spirit in such a way that we're actually going to do something that's going to take us forward? One thing to hold the ground and hold position and stand and under whatever onslaught the enemy tries to give against you, but another thing to take up that sword and then to go forward and actually take some territory with it. When we think about this spiritual war that we're in, we've said that it is a battle, and ultimately at stake is the souls of men and women. Men and women. Can't be a greater stake than that. The souls of that. Souls of children. Knowing that whether they're going to be in eternity with our Father or whether they'll still be under the dominion of the devil and ultimately then come into eternal judgment because of that. And so the stakes couldn't be any higher. And so we need to know how to use this offensive sword of the Spirit, that we're going to have a word that penetrates straight into the heart of people's lives. And that's what God wants us to do. The way to take territory, the way to win against the devil, it's not just to stand your ground. The way you win is to actually take territory, is actually to take souls for the kingdom of God. You've got to grow in God, but you're growing in God not just to be growing in God. And we're growing in God, yes, we're intimate with God, we want to grow in our relationship, but he's called us for a purpose, and that purpose is that we might be ones who are going to hold this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and to go forth and to take territory to win souls for Jesus Christ. Ultimately, that's what it's about. At the end of the day, we can say, well, I fought a good fight, amen, and I've held off every blow of the enemy, and I'm standing, and I haven't fallen, I haven't given in to the sin and the lies of the enemy and his ways he's tried to divert me, distract me, destroy me, all of those things. And that's great. He wants us to stand and to stand strong in the things of God. But he also wants us to get that sword and to start taking some territory, take something off him, take some things, plunder his territory. And the way we do that is to see people won for Jesus Christ. And to be able to take up the sword of the Spirit, which means that we've got that, the Word of God, led of the Spirit of God, that we're able to speak the word that is needed in time, in season, the word that is that penetrating word that goes straight into the person's heart and sees their life changed around. That's what we want to be able to do. Certainly Jesus did that. John 4:41 talks about when Jesus was ministering, how many, many people, when they heard his words, they were convicted. People get cut to the core and people are convicted and they come into the kingdom of God. And Jesus certainly knew how to hold off the attacks of the enemy, but he spoke the word in such a way that people came into the kingdom of God. And so I want to talk about, well, I want to show us these clips to give you some ideas in just a moment about how we can actually do that. And to see how, it's a whole bunch of testimonies actually that you'll see in just a moment, but that's the kind of life that God wants it to be spirit-led. It's an amazing story. We know about Philip, not Philip in the disciples, but Philip, who was one of the ones chosen in Acts 6 when they had the problem about a racial issue with the Jewish women and the Greek-speaking Jews and the division of food, and they're all fighting over the food. And they got seven men who were chosen to the people. Look, you saw that out. The disciples said, we're not going to get caught up working all that stuff out. We're going to concentrate on the word and prayer. You appoint seven people to do that. Among them was a guy called Philip, incredible evangelist guy. And Philip, and it tells us really clearly in Acts 8:26, it won't come up, but it says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go to the south road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now that's very specific, isn't it? It says, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go to the south road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so the Holy Spirit tells him very clearly some specific instruction about what to do. And so Philip obeys that instruction that he's given. He goes down to this desert road there. He sees this guy in the chariot who's reading the Bible, reading the book of Isaiah, doesn't really understand what he's reading. Philip goes up to him and talks to this Ethiopian eunuch, and this guy gets saved because he responded and he had the word of God and is able to put it right into this official's heart. He goes back, tells his queen over there, and they talk. Revival breaks out in Ethiopia because of one person that was able just to hear God's specific instruction, and very specific. Now, I believe that God is speaking to us all of the time. I believe that he's actually speaking to you and to me and giving us some instructions about what he wants us to do. But sometimes that we miss it, we miss what the Spirit is saying. And one of the things God really wants us to do is to sharpen our ear to what the Spirit is saying, because there are people that are around you who are just waiting for that word of God that will go right into their heart, right into that place, cuts between the soul and the spirit, dividing joints and marrow, goes straight into their heart. And then the word that you speak, which is coming out of the word of God, it comes right into their heart and it changes their life forever. And that's how God is calling and wanting us to wield the Spirit of God. Just like Philip, that God spoke to him very clear, specific instructions. This is the place where I want you to go. You know, you've read it all through the New Testament. You read about, you know, Paul, he says, I want you to go down to Simon the Tanner. He's on such and such a street. And Paul goes down there. And there's many, many occurrences in the scripture. But I just want us to watch these clips now, if that's okay, guys. If we can watch this. This is David Wagner. He's just spoke at our state conference, the CRC state conference. A few of us were there. He gave a whole bunch of stories. So I've edited them down, put them together. It goes for about 15 minutes. But it's I trust that this inspires you on about how that I can hear God. And this is for every one of us. And you find that brand new Christians, 1 hour old Christians, who actually grab a hold of something in the spirit and amazing things happen. Now, most of us have been Christians more than an hour. And I trust that we're going to learn how to use the Spirit of God in such a way. So let's just watch this on the screen.
Actually, about 2.5 years ago, I was in Uganda. We wanted to do this crusade out in this area. And as we went there, we were met with great opposition. Muslims came against us. The village leadership came against us and said, you can go anywhere else, but you can't be in the village. So they sent us up to this hill, and we went up to the hill, and they did us probably one of the greatest favors they could do, because sound projected down into the entire village. So people would come through the bush at night. They would come out of darkness and they would stand, and blind eyes were open and deaf ears were hearing, and witch doctors were getting set free. And we had thousands of salvations over a course of a few days. And finally, after 4 days, the pastor said, we're going into the village. I said, good, have fun. He said, no, you're my token white person. You're coming with me. And so I went, and they had never seen a white person before in the village, and these kids just flocked around me. As they flocked around me, the headmaster of their Muslim school came with a switch and was trying to just get them away and kind of swatting them and patting them and saying, get out of here. And then he told me, you don't belong here, you need to leave. And I just was standing there and just trying to love on the guy and walking in the power of the opposite spirit. And I didn't want to tell him I agreed with him. I didn't belong there. But all of a sudden the Lord just spoke to me and said, gave me a strategy. He said, tell him that he's got big problems, but you've got big answers. So I said, you've got big problems and I've got big answers. And he said, really? And I said, yes, I'd like to meet with you at 10:30 tomorrow to talk to you about it. And he said, you being a Christian would meet with me, a Muslim. I said, absolutely. I showed up at 10:30 the next morning. He wasn't there. He didn't think that I would come. They went and got him. They came. I began to talk to him. And I said, I need your whole school and staff to come together. And I'm going to tell you about my solutions. So I'm sitting there and I'm just talking. And I start preaching. I have an interpreter. And halfway through what I was sharing, this headmaster bumped him out of the way and said, no, sit down. I'm taking over. In my natural mind, I thought there's no way that this guy is going to preach what I'm preaching. But I start talking about how Jesus, when he comes into your life, he makes all things new. Old things have passed away and all things become new. And I'm just talking about the power of the gospel and the power of Jesus to cleanse sin. And this guy says, yeah, it's like this. And he takes off this old, dirty shirt and underneath it is a pure white shirt. And he said, this is what Jesus does for you. The guy preached himself into the kingdom. That day, the Muslim school became a Christian school. The mosque became a church. The Muslim village became a Christian village. And God is pouring out. Can I tell you something? It's moments like that that God has created you for. But in order to see it happen, you've got to stay filled up. Paraphrasing, Paul told Timothy, stay in a steady stream of the presence of God. Pastors and leaders, we cannot preach Pentecost as just a one-time get filled up at the altar event. But we must teach our people how to live in a constant daily infilling and over an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's not about getting filled up and then running it out, but it is about staying filled up. You cannot drink this river dry. You cannot come to the end of it. I believe that God wants to release a great outpouring. In order for that outpouring to come, you've got to expand your capacity as pastors and leaders. God wants you to expand your capacity to contain more and hold more of Him. I'm thinking, this guy is blowing my mind. I'm going to have to rewrite my theology. So from drunk to saved, delivered, filled, prophesying in about 5 minutes. I like that plan. It's a whole lot better than most of ours. We go out to eat at IHOP, not International House of Prayer, International House of Pancakes. And he orders a Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. I almost couldn't sit with him after that. But we're there and we're eating and a group of us are there and we're just talking and celebrating the night, and Christopher gets up, goes to a long table. It's like a table of 12 guys. They've all been out drinking and partying. They're just there getting some pancakes to cure the hangover before it happens. And he just starts preaching to them. Now, just an hour ago, he was like them. And he's sharing his testimony. And revival breaks out in the restaurant, and all 12 of them give their life to Jesus. The next day, we show up at the seminar, 9 a.m. Christopher is there with 40 friends. He stayed out half the night evangelizing. He goes through the seminar, and all of a sudden, the church has to figure out what to do with this guy who wins more in a night than they've won in a decade. You know what that is to me? It's revival. A few months ago, I was in a meeting and I was tired. I had preached 7 times on a Sunday. And they asked me to do this young adults thing on my way out. So it was about 8 o'clock. I make it to the upstairs of a church. They call it the upper room. I was in trouble. 120 people in the upper room. I was in big trouble. I had to go fly out of that city early the next morning, and so I just wanted to keep it kind of short and sweet. And so 3 points in a poem, a little shababa, a little prophetic call, couple out. I thought I'd be done. I got ready to close and to leave about 11. And the Lord said, "Don't stop. I want you to give every person in the room a word." I thought, the only way I can do this is righteousness, peace, joy, repent. I got to the first person 3 minutes, the next person 5 minutes. My spiritual son was with me. And he's weeping and he's laughing all at the same time. He whispers to me, "You can try to do whatever you want to, but you're just God's prophet to God's people. And I don't think we're leaving until everybody in this room gets a word. So hurry up." About 3:15 in the morning, I have 3 people left. There's a little gal looking at me, and the Lord says, "Tell her I want to heal her scars." So I say, "The Lord wants to heal the scars in your," and I went to say "heart," and the Lord said, "No, don't say that. You'll mess it up. Tell her I want to heal her scars." I said, "The Lord wants to heal your scars." And all of a sudden she said, "Ah, my arms are burning, my arms are burning." She lifts up her sweatshirt and her jumper, and thousands of cuts on her arm. She's been a cutter. We watched in a moment as God completely just healed her and recreated the skin, and every scar disappeared. Gives her life to the Lord. The next guy, same thing. God hits him and he's a heroin addict, and the track marks completely disappear. And he gives me the testimony. He goes, "I was so mad at you," except he didn't use those words. He threw out a couple of words that even made me blush. He said, "You know, I came because my girlfriend made me come. And I've tried to walk out of here 8 times. I went to the car 8 times tonight to shoot up and I couldn't get high. And it was your fault." And the power and the love of God just hit him. The track marks disappeared. And this complete peace and deliverance just came over the guy. His buddy next to him gets saved. 3 people in the last minute. And I thought to myself, if I could have been in a hurry and on a time frame, we'd have missed the moment. See, they didn't need my sermon. They probably didn't even need my prophecy. All they needed was a moment in God. It changed their life. We went out to eat because I think the best way to end a meeting is with a meal. Jesus broke bread, man. I know sometimes fasting, we got to do it, but I like the feasting part of the gospel a whole lot better. My idea of fasting is eat fast. And we go to Macker's. Just enough time to make one more bad decision before the night's over. We order sausage McMuffin with eggs and we're there, and all of a sudden the girl who had her arms healed goes missing. She goes, all of a sudden I look, and there's 2 policemen ordering their food. And she goes up to the one and said, "Hey, what's wrong with your back?" The guy said, "I've had 3 back surgeries. I need another, but if I have the other one, I'll lose my job." I don't advise this, but she didn't even ask permission. She just laid her hands on him, said, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And the cop fell out. The other cop grabbed his gun. Like a Holy Ghost hijacking. He gets up and he can touch his toes. He can move and he's crying and he gives his life to the Lord. The partner gives his life to the Lord. Then all of a sudden the heroin addict gets weird on me. He starts going. I thought, what the hangman? And he just yells out in the restaurant, "Hey, who can't smell in here?" I'm thinking, I don't know him. Waver, just precursor, right? I don't know him. And all of a sudden the manager says, me, I've never smelled or tasted anything. And he's just talking to her and he orders another breakfast sandwich. And as he's exchanging money, hands her the $20 bill. As she takes in her hand for payment, she falls out under the power of God. Coffee pot went flying. Revival's messy. She gets up and she can smell the coffee. She can taste the French fry. You know what? You may say, why would God do that? Why not? By the time we left, about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, there were people laid out in the parking lot of Macker's. They put orange cones around them so they wouldn't get run over. It was like a Holy Spirit crime scene. All I got to do was go to the airport. It's revival. I have a crazy friend. His name is Pat Fryer. Pat was a meth addict and got saved the same time as me. Same kind of experience. Put a shotgun in his mouth, pulled the trigger, and God spared his life. He's on fire, radically saved. And a couple of years ago, we were in Venezuela flying to Colombia. We got on an airplane. We went to our seats, and there were two ladies in our seats. We said, hey, I spoke Spanglish to the flight attendant. Said, un mujer en mi sito. She said, no problemo. And she was moving them from 33 B and C to first classo. And they said, no, no, no. We like it where we are. Let them go. And I said, gloria a Dios. Dios es fiel en este lugar. Listen, I've flown last class by the bathrooms where you hear everything slushing. I've flown middle class between the two biggest guys on the plane. And I've flown first class. And ain't nothing like it. So my buddy Pat is up in 1B, I'm in 4B. And all I want to do is go to sleep because we have about an hour and a half flight to Bogota. And all of a sudden I hear on the plane, Shatarabakatarabashandarabasandara. I'm thinking, Pat, don't do it. Don't do it, Pat. Don't do it. And I look, and in the aisle, his leg is going. He got the Holy Ghost shakes. Either that or he had to go to the bathroom. I don't know. He just. And all of a sudden he just goes, hey! Who here has nerve damage? Well, they all spoke Spanish. So he said, hey, who speaks English on this flight? Lady next to him says, I speak English. He said, ask the guy, what's wrong with his hand? The guy says, oh, I'm a soap opera actor, and I went through the plate glass window, and I severed the nerves and the tendons in my hand, and I'm in constant pain. I can't close my hand. He said, ask him, do you believe Jesus can heal him? And she said, I can't say that. He said, why? He said, I'm an atheist. He said, it's all right. I just asked Athos, and Athos said it was okay if you ask him the question. So reluctantly, she said, do you believe Jesus can heal you? And he says, sí, mi es católico. I'm a Catholic. And so Pat just reaches over, grabs his hand, says, in the name of Jesus. And the guy goes, fuego, fuego en mi mano, fuego en mi mano. And he was completely healed. Gives his life to the Lord. The translator gives his life to the Lord. I'm saying, good job, Pat. And I look at the guy next to me, and the Lord says, I'm giving his wife a new heart. So I said, ¿Se habla inglés, señor? Yes. I said, I don't know what this means, but the Lord wants to give your wife a new heart today. He starts weeping. He says, I'm a diplomat from Colombia to Venezuela. I just got a phone call. They're bringing my wife into heart surgery right now. She had a heart attack, and they need to move her in now. They don't think she's going to make it, so they're rushing to the hospital. I just prayed. I said, God's going to give her a new heart and all of those things. And we land, and I go, adios. He said, no, 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 you don't understand. You're coming with me. I don't know how you feel about being hauled off by a strange Colombian in a black SUV with tinted windows and people with guns. But we go, and he takes us to the hospital, and we go in there, and all of a sudden his wife is sitting up in the waiting room, not in the emergency or operating room. And the doctor comes out and says, "We can't explain it. Here's the EKG and all of the tests. She was having a severe cardiac arrest. Her arteries are completely clogged. We needed to do something. And we just looked again before we opened her up. And we don't know how to explain it other than to say it's a miracle, but God gave her a new heart. He gave his life to the Lord. She gave her heart to the Lord. The doctor gave her heart to the Lord. And I was set free."
Let's go. I'll work it out. Praise God. They're very powerful. Amazing when you got that sword of the Spirit and then you're led of the Spirit of God. Just a simple word that God drops into your heart. Maybe from the Word of God, it might be just a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, something that God speaks into our spirit. And if we take that word and then we speak that word, it goes straight into somebody's heart and amazing things happen. And that's the life that God wants us to lead. And that we once are holding that Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And just be alert, ready for that word that goes right into the heart, that goes right in. Simple word, a simple thing. And you saw even brand new baby Christians that are listening to what God is saying. 1 hour, a Christian, and leading a whole table of people to Christ. You hear that girl, just Lord tells her to go pray for the policeman, my friend with the gun who puts out his gun. But there's something about that, something about being led of the Spirit of God, something about wielding that sword of the Spirit and be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And I believe that's what God really wants us to operate in. Scripture in John 14:12, and we know this one, and maybe it frustrates some of us. It says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Because he went to the Father, he didn't leave us as an orphan, he sent us the Holy Spirit, and so that we have the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And by the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we're able to take the sword of the Spirit, have the Word of God, and be able to speak it into someone's heart. It could be just a simple word that God gives. Be able to see someone's life totally turned around, totally transformed. And that's what God wants us to do. We're here to win souls. We're not just ones that are called to stand and I'm standing firm and praise God. We want to stand firm. When the assault of the enemy is upon us, we are not giving one inch. We're not giving one ground. We're not compromising. We're going to stand strong. We've got that shield of faith. We've got the sword of the Spirit, and we will stand on the written word of God, what God has said. But there's something about getting what the Spirit is prompting, having his word, and being able to speak that and take territory. That's where victory comes. That's how you beat the devil, not just pushing him away. You beat him by taking people's lives for Christ, saving souls, saving people, saving them, taking them out of the dominion of darkness and bringing them into the dominion of light. And that's the kind of life that God wants to live. You watch that and think, oh, well, that's wonderful. How much more exciting life is when you're able to hear and see what God is doing. I saw some great things in Sri Lanka when I was there. Just God just puts a little word there, a little thing there, and just something. I remember one guy that was there, and just on that where I told you about, we were up to that line. It was called a line, that little village in the middle of the tea plantation, the middle of the jungle, basically. And there's this guy standing off to the side there, and he had this little one there. And I just felt the Lord just say just to get the chair and take the chair and put it there for him to sit on the chair. So I went and just got the chair, put the chair down, and the guy sat on the chair. Now, a lot of the people there were horrified. In fact, one guy got up and so pushed him away, and literally pushed him away, got the chair, put it back, because this was for the pastors, you know. And I said, no, it's okay. So I got the chair, told the guy to come back and sit down and just to sit there. I just felt the Lord wanted him to do that. I don't know who he was in the village. I don't know what people thought of him in the village. But I just felt the Lord just telling me to do that. And anyway, just when we preached and gave the call, he was the very first one to come out and give his life for Christ. And I think him coming forward was actually a factor that caused a lot of the other people to come forward. So just a simple little thing about give this guy a chair. He wasn't a particularly elderly guy that looked like he needed a chair. But just a simple thing can open the door for God's to touch people's lives. And that's how God wants us to live and to walk in that way. The final scripture, just as we close this morning, Romans chapter 10. And I really believe God is calling us to be ones that are going to use the Word of God, listen to what the Spirit of God is saying, and to take it and have that Word that goes right into someone's heart. And your neighbours, your friends that you're praying for, it's great that you're praying for them. Keep on praying for them. But remember, God's put the sword of the Spirit in your hand, that you could be the one that actually has that right Word in season, led and prompted to the Spirit of God, that goes right in and is the Word that unlocks their heart, that sees them come into the kingdom of God. It says in Romans 10, it says this, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? Well, we have been sent, commissioned by our Lord Jesus Christ. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. And so they're not going to hear unless you tell them. And so we need to be alert. I just want to stand. Let's stand to our feet now. I just want to pray for us. I believe the Holy Spirit is already prompting us, already puts things upon our heart. And I believe the Word of God is something that is placed within us. The Word of God is within us. And the Holy Spirit is there readily quickening that Word that's within our life. It wants us to take up that sword and not just use the Word of God to counter the lies of the enemy to stand, but to be alert that we might just have the right word to say, a word born of the Spirit of God that will go right into someone's heart. That's how God wants us to live. What he's saying up there on the screen, what you saw there, is not supposed to be, oh, well, that's unusual. That's how God wants us to live. He wants us to live in such a way. What an exciting life that is. How exciting it is. You know, isn't it pretty cool? Wouldn't you like to have been the one there at the airport and you saw that, you know, on the plane? And, well, praise God, that's the God. God has called us to that. He's called you to that. So, Father, I just thank you now as we stand here. Well, let's just raise our hands to the Lord. Lord, we just stand before you, Lord, and surrender. Lord, knowing that we're nothing of ourselves, that we can do nothing without you. But Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, that is so powerful, Lord. That's the power of your word's amazing. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you cause us to be ones that will take up the sword of the Spirit. Lord, to be able to speak that word into a life, Lord, to have the word that goes in deep, Lord, that cuts in deep, cuts aside every thought and it judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It divides even the soul and the heart, Lord, that goes right deep in to someone's spirit, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you've given us that capacity. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll be alert. Lord, let us be alert, Lord, to be ready to use the sword of the Spirit, Lord, to take ground, to see lives won for Christ, Lord. That's what you've called us to, Lord, not just to stand strong, but, Father, you want us to go on the offensive, Lord, to take... what the enemy has stolen, Lord, to take people back and see them won for Christ. And so, Father, I pray that you stir our hearts, Lord, that we'll constantly walk in that presence of God, even as we talked about last week. Lord, that we'll be ones that are walking in that, Lord. Lord, that we're seeing things the way that you see them, Lord, as we spend time and intimacy in the presence of God. But, Father, I pray, Lord, let us be sharp. Let us be alert. Lord, even this week, Father, let us even determine in our hearts that this week, Lord, I'm going to be listening for the word to say, Lord, that's going to unlock a miracle that would change somebody's life for eternity, Father. Lord, I pray, let your people be tuned up. Let us be sensitive to what your Spirit is saying. Father, a simple word, but Lord, that takes faith, it takes boldness, it takes courage. Lord, let us stand and speak. Lord, your word, Lord, quickened and brought forth by your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray. So, Father, bless your people, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Let us stand, Lord, knowing that we're already equipped with your word. We're already equipped by the Spirit of God. And Lord, this is how you want us to live, Lord. You want to see people one to Christ. And so, Father, I pray you stir that in our hearts this day in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's sing this together and praise the Lord. Worship him. You want prayer? I'll be available in a moment. But let's just worship the Lord and lift him up. Let's be ready this week, ready for what God wants you to do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.